You have heard that it was said, you should not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown in hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for you, your whole body, to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces with wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break the oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond that, this comes from the evil one.
Let us pray. Gracious God, I ask today that your words be on my heart, the words I say may bring glory to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So one of my favorite metaphors that I have learned in seminary and have really carried with me throughout my ministry as far as Scripture goes is looking at Scripture as a long conversation, right? Conversation between God and God's people, history. And as you read further into Scripture, you hear how the authors build and challenge previous books of the Bible. What did God do then, and what is God doing now? How are these two related? Exodus talks to Genesis about how God cares for God's people. Ezekiel and Isaiah also talk to Exodus about who will suffer the consequences of the sin of the people. Is it the individual, or is it everybody? Is it the children? And Ruth, the book of Ruth, talks to Ezra about whether Jews should marry non-Jews. And Ezra, he's very clear, you do not marry a non-Jew. But Ruth is a story about a Jewish woman who marries someone who's not Jewish, challenging Ezra's take on that perspective about how God is working. And what we find in this continual conversation is God's people wrestling with what it means to be faithful in their particular time and place, moving, looking back and looking forward. And the joy of Scripture is that God finds a way. God finds a way to bring new life in many different situations, circumstances, and so the conversation continues. It doesn't just stop at the Old Testament. It keeps going into the New Testament. This section on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking to Moses. In this section, there are four quotes from Moses, three from Exodus and one from Deuteronomy. Direct quotes. He is saying, you have heard it was said. And then he gives the quote. You have heard that it was said. Here, Jesus is addressing God's commandments from these ancient times, helping his disciples and other followers understand what it means to live these commandments out in this new kingdom that Jesus is bringing forth. You have heard it said this, but I'm going to tell you how you live this out here and now. And at first, when you read this, you think, oh, Jesus is, he's telling Moses, you can get lost, Moses. I got something new. I'm getting rid of the old, bringing in the new. Except that's not what he's doing. He's not kicking Moses out. He's not interested in abolishing the law, but rather in fulfilling the law. So he doesn't challenge these sayings. Instead, he intensifies their meaning. You shall not murder also means you should not act out in anger towards your neighbor. Not committing adultery also applies to the inner feelings of lust in your heart. And so on and so on. Jesus doesn't abolish the law. He throws cayenne pepper all over it and expects you to start eating it. Now, when I was in seminary, I lived with a couple guys who were in Ethiopia. I mean, Gustu and Jonas. And every week, they would invite me to cook their traditional Ethiopian meal. And they said, Greg, come on. By the way, if you could get Ethiopian food, go. It's good. I'm sure there's a place in Columbus that does it. It's delicious. Anyways, they would serve me the meal, but every week, Mengistu would create this pepper dish. Every week, he would try to make it hotter and hotter. And he would come up to me and he would say, Gray, you can't handle this. There's no way you're going to handle this. I go, bring it, Mengistu, bring it. Let's see it. Now, there were some days I faked my way through it. I'm going to be honest with you, where I probably wanted to cry some tears. But I was like, I can handle it. But that's what Jesus is doing today. Jesus is saying, I just made this really hot for you. Are you ready? Can you handle this? Because I'm taking these laws and I'm going to intensify them. Get ready, because they don't mean just that interpretation. Murder doesn't mean just murder anymore. It means a whole bunch of other stuff. It means that adultery is more than just an action. It means that marriage and divorce is not about power over a woman, like in that society, the man had all the power, but about actually a commitment to. We're held to a higher standard in Jesus' kingdom. And the consequences to failing to live into these higher standards are brutal. Jesus talks about being thrown in the fires of hell, or more literally in the book Gehenna, which referred to a constant burning trash heap that was right outside the walls of Jerusalem. That was what hell looked like to those people, right? That trash heap that just never went out. And as intense and as scary as this sounds, judgment here is actually good news. Good news because through judgment, God is making things right. The parts of us and our world that destroy creation and our relationships can be repaired, restored. So here, judgment actually serves a purpose. It's not a bad thing. It's something we should look forward to because it's God making things right. Remember, I talked about that pruning? The same deal here. Letting go of the things that destroy and embracing those things that bring life. So my question here is, what is this higher standard? What is this cayenne pepper that Jesus is throwing all over these laws? What is it about? First, we have to get right with God. That's what Jesus is saying. But what he's saying is you can't get right with God before you get right with your neighbors. You may have noticed that each of these sections is about how we treat our neighbors, how we treat one another. Can we resolve our conflicts? Can we refrain from acting on our anger? Can we treat our neighbor with respect? Anger and insults are murder to a community. Lustful thoughts can destroy your marriage and the marriage of others. And a man who arbitrarily divorces his wife just because he feels like it is also guilty of adultery. Because you have not committed to that person. That's what that big saying in the Bible is all about there. It's about power over. Here Jesus is calling the men to a higher standard when it regards divorce. And if you say yes or no, you need to mean it. Don't make insincere commitments, because those insincere commitments threaten our life together. Now, many Christians have read this part, and this not only this part, but the next part we're going to read next week, and looked at their past. You're a crazy person. You're just a crazy person. What are you talking about? I can't live into these things. I'm divorced. I got married to another person. Oh my gosh, am I going to hell? What's that part about cutting your hand off or your eye out? I don't really want to do that. I really don't want to do that, Gray. I like one of my hands and I like my eyes. I don't want to have to just rip those out in order so I can get to heaven. I know. Possible standard. I'm going to be honest with every single one of you in here. If any of you have figured out how to live into it, I need you to come talk to me after the service. And you need to share with me so I can share with everybody else here. Because it's impossible. It is. But does that mean we should not be striving towards it? Because we know we're always going to fail this higher standard. The cayenne pepper is always going to heat us out. It's going to be so much heat. But we know that we are called to strive towards it. Constantly knowing that we'll fail and that God will pick us up and give us a new opportunity to try to live into it. God keeps giving us the strength, and we do it every time, even though we keep failing, because we know that the alternative is right? Because the temptation is to look at this law and go, "Great, I'm not doing any of it. If I can't do it, then why even bother even trying?" Because we know the other way destroys life. It brings death. Brings hatred. And though we may fail, at least we are trying with God's help to bring about goodness little by little by little. We're not going to succeed at everything, but the things that we do accomplish can be life, can bring resurrection. So yes, this is an impossible standard. Yes, I'm giving you that. But with God's help, we can start living into it, because God is giving us that opportunity. So thankfully, we don't have to strive for this impossible standard alone. God walks with us and makes the impossible possible. That is the power of this sermon. Strive towards that higher standard. Maybe put a little more of that cayenne pepper on there because you're ready for the heat. But know that only with God is anything going to change, and are you going to be able to accomplish the incredibleness of this sermon. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. in order to see what they might get back. So this last week, I spent the whole week at a conference called the Credo, which is a conference that is like, as I've been telling people, a look in the mirror. It's a chance for you to take a hard, long look at your life and reconsider how you have been living. It was a place to be held accountable for my ministry, my finances, my health, my career choices. And through this conference, I realized that I had not been caring for myself as well as I should have been, or for my family, or also of you. I was not making, I realized, full use of the gifts that God has given me, because I was not caring for myself. As I told the session Thursday, my liquid intake of most days in the office was coffee, coffee, Coke, coffee, coffee, milk. And so I realized that because I had been neglecting the gifts, I had not been able to be as present as I needed to be with my family or with you. And so I left the Credo Conference with a plan that seeks to find a better balance so that I may be a better person, a better husband, father, and minister to you all. Much of it involves getting exercise, better diet, but I am also seeking to pray more without this script thing y'all see me carry every Sunday, to be more present, to help celebrate the gifts we have here in this place, and more importantly, to work prayer and listening time into my daily schedule. So I ask you all today, are you taking full advantages of the gifts God has given each and every one of you? Are you caring for yourself so that those gifts can be put to use? Or is there some way in which you have been neglectful? Neglectful not only of God, but of the gifts you've been given, but yourself and your family. I ask you today to take that look in the mirror. Look at your life and look at the ways in which you can give yourself more fully to God by caring for yourself, your family, and your neighbors. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.